Lord's for his gifts. Amen. Let's have a moment of prayer together. I'm going to kneel up here. You can join me in bowing your heads as we share with Jesus. Gracious Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the hope. And Father, thank you for helping us to see ourselves. As we look in the mirror, it's not always pleasant sometimes. Father, sometimes maybe we look in the mirror and we think it's a little too pleasant. But Lord, may you humble us as we look to the cross. And realizing, no matter where we are in that pendulum as we see ourselves in the mirror, that all we see is not ourselves, but is you reflecting back in our character. So Father, it is our choice and our heart's desire to choose you to be our everything this 2015. To lead us, Father, as we surrender to you, Father, to guide us, to mold us, and to shape our lives for this year. So, Lord, here we are. Teach us today. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How would my life change if I was walking according to God's will in my life? You know, when we surrender to the impulse, we surrender the human impulse to God's divine conviction, He will lead us home. And that is not just the home of which someday we hear that He will come again, but it is the home that He brings to our hearts right now. Matthew is a beautiful book because it talks about the kingdom of God so many times, but not just the kingdom of God to come, but the kingdom of God that is here. Because we have it in our hearts. Oftentimes, when we get in our automobiles, we pull out some electronic device, and some of us have set up in the dashboard or maybe in the window in the corner, we put this little guy right in, or little girl, depending on how you refer to it, depending on what he or she says. But we put that little thing right there in the corner. Now, some of you have like the Garmin, or maybe it's a phone or something like that, but this little guy sits there and it begins to do something for us. It does multiple things, not just to tell us where we are going, but it tells us where we are. It tells us where we are right now. And it's a tool that helps us to get us where we know we should be going. And what happens? We're driving along. We're not sure. We're not familiar with the area. And so as we're driving along and we're moving through, there's something we are very familiar with in California, traffic. And traffic often causes something we also know very well, and that is detours, right? And so what happens to our dear little friend that's sitting in that window or in the dashboard as we're going along and we start to deviate from the plan, what does that dear little friend tell us? Some say turn around, some say make a U-turn, or it might even say, which is one that my mind does, it says recalculating. Recalculating. It's almost like it's irritated at me because it's like, why are you keep constantly asking me to recalculate? I already told you where you need to be going. I already guiding you where you need to be, but you keep changing the plan. So thus, I got to recalculating. You ever notice the little attitude? I mean, she seems to have like this little attitude in there. I don't know how they program that in there, but she seems to come back and just keeps getting more and more irritated where the point is, I'm just going to turn you off. And then something really important happens, especially if my wife is in the car and she says, maybe we should stop and ask for directions. But in life, I want us to focus on something that is so connected with the recalculating, with the GPS. And I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start right there in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Wonderful book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, referring to Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, meaning talking about the selfishness, the pride, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of what? Just as the others. We're sitting in a car. Where are we going? Are we searching for God or are we searching away from God? Are we caught up in the desires of our heart that we keep wanting to go a certain way, even though there's this wonderful device that will guide us home, will guide us to where we need to be, will lead us, but we keep choosing to ignore that and keep going on different paths that we choose to follow. Hoping sometimes for different results, sometimes hoping that things would get better as we choose different paths instead of following the guide, instead of following the true GPS that will take us home. And so it says here in this text, starting with verse 4, I always love it when the scripture says, but God. Because there means that whenever there's a but there, that conjunction, it's saying, hey, wait a minute here. Yeah, it doesn't look too good and it looks a little gloomy, but you wait. You wait. There's something so exciting about to take place. You should be on the edge of your seat. You should be fidgeting as much as possible because of the excitement. Just like a few weeks ago when the little kids were getting you up early in the morning to just open up that one special little thing that might be under the tree. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been what? Praise the Lord. I don't know, I say praise the Lord. I don't know if you want to, but I say praise God. Because of His mercy and His grace, He chose to save a wretch like me. Have you ever looked back in your year, especially looking at back at 2014? And not all of us look at a lot of exciting, look back with a lot of excitement. Oftentimes we look back and we think we're more prone to look at the negative than we are the positive. So what do? We look at all the missteps that we've had in 2014. We look at all the challenges, all the heartache, all the difficulties, all the things that the world had been throwing all around us. And then they tell us we need to make New Year's resolutions. But sometimes we have so much baggage that we're bringing on to 2015 that how are we ever going to have any hope of finding anything positive to grab hold of? Because oftentimes we set a resolution of which society and marketing knows that you'll be lucky if you last 3 months. And really, honestly, they know it's usually within a month that almost like 70% of the people will not fulfill their desire is that they set up, whatever their New Year's resolution. And sometimes I wonder if we do the same with God. That if we think, you know, it's God, I know my life needs to be rerouted, recalculated, but I just don't know. Do I really want to? I know I should, but I'm not sure if I'm willing. You know, sometimes we look at our pillars in the scriptures, like the disciples and such, and, you know, they struggle just like we all do. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 to see here even Paul sharing some wonderful hope and assurance to us, dealing with the reality that it can be challenging to give up human impulse and to be led by divine conviction. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Paul is a pretty bright guy. He's probably one of the smartest of smarts. You know, he's the one of the brainiacs. He's one of those kids and is the teacher's pet. And yet even he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't figured it all out. But one thing he has figured out, and that is, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are where? Ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of whom? Upward call of whom? I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Who was that again? Oh, praise the Lord. What does he do? He doesn't say, when you think and you read through Philippians 4, he's not talking about, well, I'm going to forget everything of 2014. He's not talking about that. But he is talking about, I'm going to lay aside my stuff. I'm going to lay aside my burdens. I'm going to lay aside my achievements. I'm going to lay aside me. And all I'm going to have in focus in front of me and ahead of me is God. His will for my life. Not my will, not my achievements that might propel me, not my ambitions, but God's will for my life. Now think about that. Is that hard? I mean, you're just saying, I'm just going to have God's will directing my life this year. What's hard in that? But yet, that easy to say, but man, sometimes it's like, what is God's will for my life? Paul says he's not that he apprehended, but one thing he knows, to lay aside his stuff and put in center focus God's stuff. To put in the center of his heart the character of God. Isn't that precious? I'm thankful for that because as I was reading and thinking of what this year needs to be in focus and in tune with, it's just, man, what is God's will for our lives this year? If you had to say what would need to happen for you to feel like a success in 2015, what would it look like? Honestly, write the question down. What would that look like? It is okay to have ambitions and thoughts, but what happens is we need to lay them in the hands of Jesus. And go, God, these are things I feel you sharing with me. Now, is this your will for me? Don't let me take the place of the GPS that's guiding my life. Let's turn to another scripture in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, where do we begin in our own lives? And one of the key things that we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 26, when he's in a dark moment, a difficult time in which the weight of sin and of the world is upon his shoulders. You ever felt like you had the weight of the world on your shoulders? How about the weight of a whole universe on your shoulders? Can you imagine having the weight of the whole entire world of sin on your shoulders? Would you be able to walk, let alone stand? We would all be saying, kill me now, for I cannot handle this. But God says, even in his own challenge, at that moment, in verse 42 of chapter 26, he says here, again, he said a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, well, then you got to find somebody else to do it. Oh, you know what? Just recalculate and we'll formulate a new plan. What does God, what does our Savior say to the Father? Can you say that to the Father today? Can we say that to the Father? Lord God, I'm coming off of a very difficult 2014 year. And the burden of that, Lord, I want to walk with a newness, a freshness. I want to walk with a new hope, a new light. I want to walk with passion behind whatever I'm going to do this year. Excitement about it, but the weight of stuff. But do we let the weight of stuff shape our calling, shape our direction, shape our lives? Do we let the fear of the world and the fear that we face shape us? Or do we say, Lord God, even though all that stuff is there, I know you're greater. And even though it might be difficult right now, I trust in you. I'm willing to surrender my will, my life to you so that your will can be done. Can we say that? Because if we can't say that, then I just got to stop and we'll close the book and we'll just sing a song right now. Because that is the very place that God started. Where do we begin when we try to ask or focus on what God is calling or asking us to do this 2015 year? We have to first be willing to surrender to God our will. To surrender our plans. To even surrender our ambitions. Because God's ambitions for our lives is to prosper us. And that doesn't just mean in money. That means to prosper us in character, because that is of the greatest value that we could ever have, is the value and the character of Jesus Christ and the value it brings our lives and the lives of others. Amen? And so in John 8:29 it says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." In John 8:29, Jesus walked pleasing his Father. What have we been holding on to that we've been maybe feeling guilty with? Maybe we've been holding on that we just don't want to let it go, but we just know something's uncomfortable about it. My friends, let's take it and let's give it to God. Let's be free from that guilt. Let's be free from that bondage that's holding us back to achieve what God wants to do in your life. Each one of us, I'm sure, have something in our lives, whether it could be anything, but that we just say, you know what, Lord, help me to be free from this. I know I can't do it alone, but I know you can do it alone. So I give it to you. And Father, I know you will not only help me, but you will make me victorious. Do you believe God can be victorious in your life? If you're not, my friends, join me up here after the service and we're going to have prayer together. Because Jesus Christ will be victorious in your life. And I'll show you. I'll show you in Scripture the many places where we see His victory in people's lives. God will allow us to do what we want. Sometimes we wish He wouldn't. Sometimes we just tell us, just mold us right where we need to be. Don't let me have choice. Because I have choice, it messes everything up. But there's got to be choice. There has to be. Because if there's no choice, there's no love. So He will let you do whatever you want. But in doing what you want, you won't have the experience of the joy of knowing His will for your life. Did you get that? Well, you can do what you want, but you won't have the joy of knowing what God's will can do for your life. So we must be willing to surrender our own opinions and our own desires to follow Jesus. So where do we turn for inspiration? Where do we turn to be able to give us some hope and guidance? Look with me to 2 Timothy. You guys know the Scripture well, but for some of you that haven't seen this Scripture before, I want you to see it. Not to hear it from my lips, but to read it from your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, some of you could probably already recite the text. It's verse 16. And what does it say there? It says, only those portions that you like. You know, leave out Leviticus and things like that, but, you know, only stick with, you know, the Psalms and Proverbs. And, you know, hey, maybe, yeah, the Gospel of John. Why don't we throw that in there, you know, for good measure? Every bit, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not my inspiration, but of who? This is good news. That means we can trust this. Amen? All right, we got to remember that. We can trust in this. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable, my friends. We can invest in a lot of things, but the profit this brings, praise the Lord. It brings eternal benefits, eternal rewards, amen? And so it continues on, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. Now we get nervous. What is that? It's the best happy meal you could ever have. Because that happy meal will bring you more joy, and forgive the analogy, but it will bring you more joy. And it is that easy. It's a choice. You make a choice to pull into that place to get that happy meal. All you have to do is make a choice to take hold of the free gift. And then God will not just bring you happiness, He will bring you joy. Joy comes from a deeper place than happiness. Happiness is when we get a new toy or something, we're so excited, but joy. Joy just doesn't just get killed because I had a bad day. Joy is what propels us to have a smile on our face when everything else is gloomy. Everything else is so dark. We've lost our friends because of whatever mistake we've done. There's a lot of hurt this world brings. A lot of hurt. But I don't want to carry it. Do you? I mean, we've all been wronged. Do we even want to admit it? But we've wronged others. Whether purposely or by accident. An assumption that was made, but I don't want to carry those burdens. And I know you don't want to carry them either. I want to walk with the new and freshness of the life that Jesus brings. But it starts with being willing like Jesus and following the wisdom of the GPS, which is our Bibles. Because that is the guide that will lead us to the character of Jesus Christ. It is the guide that will help us to understand the will of God. It is given to us to help us to understand God's heart. Amen? But God knew that, you know what, I can't just give them a book of knowledge, a book of wisdom. I need to give them something else. And He has given us something else, hasn't He? A precious gift, a person of which helps us. And we find this in many places, but particularly here I want to read in John 14, 26. You could turn there if you like, but we're going to read through a verse or two. But it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will do what? He will teach you all things." Praise the Lord. I've got a teacher that I can go to each and every second. I don't have to worry about lunch breaks. I don't have to worry about vacations, because this teacher never goes on break. Okay, now I know some of you aren't very excited about that, because you're like, man, teachers always give me homework and tests and exams. And this teacher will give you exams, and he will give you homework. And I know we don't like that stuff, but the homework that he gives us, it makes us into the men and women that we want to be. It makes us into the husbands and wives that are not just there, but are there for each other. It makes us into the brothers and sisters that aren't just good neighbors, but are good neighbors. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit teaches us the heart of Jesus Christ, because that is the only way we can really learn to love one another. Loving each other doesn't just come naturally, because our hearts are deceitful. I'd rather not see you people. Not personally. But in technically, you know what I mean? It's like typically we kind of like, you know, I'd rather stay in my house. And why do I say this? Because just look at society today. Where do we spend most of our time? If you do a study and you look and evaluate, we spend it at work because we have to. But we spend a lot of times in our caves. And society knows this in marketing and stuff. And so what happens is to have a heart of which looks out beyond ourselves, we need to surrender our will to Jesus Christ. We need to let the Word of God spend time in our conscience and let the Holy Spirit share with us the mysteries, the truth of the mysteries in the Word of God. Are you with me this morning? We fight with trying to say, how do we know God's will? Simple steps of trust, surrender, and following. Which we don't like the word so often used, but really is what obedience is all about. I was thinking this morning as we were sharing in our special Bible study time together, have we mixed up the idea that obedience and slavery is the same thing? Now, I'm not going to necessarily answer that question, but I want you to think about it. Because the Bible, when it speaks of obedience, it speaks of it much differently than I wonder if we in today's society understand or think of obedience. We get nervous of the word. Even kids, if I tell the young people and say, what do you think of obedience? Is 0 to 10, what would you rate that? I'd be interesting to see what they would say, because most of us would think obedience is when I get in trouble, or it's the chores I got to do. Or it's all these things. And I wonder if we do associate it with the concept and idea of slavery. But is that what God wants? God, does He want slavery? That's not what it means to walk with Jesus. That's not what it means to be obedient with Jesus. We've got to read in the Word of God to understand the true beauty of obedience through the Word of God. Just like we've got to understand the true idea of what love is. How many, I remember a few years back we were talking about friends. You know the word friend? And what do we use? We use it so loosely now. It used to be in a time when you don't call everybody friend. You only call a friend a friend. I'm saying that a lot today, aren't I? Do you double words? Okay, hopefully you're with me. But the idea is that, you know, it's like friend was meant someone close and personal. Now it's like, you know, I meet you, Jennifer, let's say for 2 seconds, and Matt, you're my best friend. So what does friend mean? And so what happens is a society, we get confused. Because we're like, well, the Bible says this, like love, or says friendship, or says giving our heart to God, but we don't even really know what that means. But the only way we find out is by giving our will to Jesus Christ, following the wisdom of the Word of God, and letting the Holy Spirit shape that in our lives. Because then we'll truly come to see and know the beauty of Jesus Christ. Are you wanting to see the beauty of Jesus Christ this 2015? Are you wanting to come into a new fire and excitement in 2015? Are you wanting to say, Lord, let's reach something God's size this year? I don't want to just go through and live the same year I did 2014 and look back and go, I can't tell the difference. I want this year to stand out, Jesus, and I know it will. So help me walk with you. Help me give it all to you so that this 2015 year, I'll never forget. Praise the Lord, there's a dear sister today that gave her heart to Jesus Christ at the beginning of the year. A special day of birth for her to say, Lord God, I dedicate my life to you leading it this year. Praise the Lord. I want to join in that celebration, don't you? I want to join and make that commitment for my own life. But sometimes we still don't know where to focus. Sometimes we still don't know where to give our attention in the process of the decision making. But remember, the Bible tells us and reminds us that even when we spend time in the Bible and we let the Holy Spirit share with us, we also need to have a two-way communication. And who should we be communicating with? With God, should we not? It says in Scripture in James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. Is that good news? God gives liberally to those that ask. And so we give our hearts to Jesus Christ. We let him share with us and we share with him. In First John 5, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what does he do? He ignores us. Praise the Lord. So you already got, Holy Spirit's already sharing with your conscience. That makes no sense. Because what will he do? He will hear you. Some of you feel sometimes, and I know we all have at times, that is God silent? We've had another sermon on that. Is God not there? My friends, the Bible tells us just the opposite. So even if you don't trust in what you think you know, it's okay. Trust in the Bible. Trust in the Word of God. It is true. It is there. It is to help us with our confidence, because it can get wavered. It can get challenged because of our human nature. But we can rely on the foundation that God has given. Can we not? Is it okay to rely on the foundations of God? Praise the Lord, it absolutely is. And so we pray with confidence in knowing he will hear us and he will take action upon that which he knows is best for us. Proverbs 15:22 also reminds us that even though we give our will to God, we trust in the Word of God, we let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we pray to God, even then sometimes it's like, well, I just don't have clarity. But the Bible even gives us some other help in understanding God's will by saying in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. God gives us wonderful people that come alongside us to help lead us. And so as we share with them and we help, they can help shape, strategically focus us on what God is putting on your heart to be doing. And I'm thankful for that. It is not by accident that we are all here today. God's calling you. Scripture says that God calls us unto him. So God has called you today. Yes, he's called you to hear from him to you, but you know what? You might be the very person that might help someone else understand a bit more of what God is putting on their heart. Because of something you share, something you do, a beautiful piece that is sung, whatever it might be, God can use you to help someone else to understand the plans of God in their heart and what that means for their lives. So we turn to other Christians devoted to God, not just anybody, because not everyone's leading in the right places. And I've seen this happen before where will turn to friends, especially when we have challenges in relationships. Had counseled with several, and they go, well, I went to my friends and I had told them of the problems I was having. And so they were just saying, you know, just stay away from home. Or they were saying, hey, just go out to the bar, get a few drinks, you'll feel better, and then go home. Was this good advice? So we've got to be careful of the wisdom that we turn to try to lead us to where God wants us to be. Give your heart to Jesus Christ, and He will let your eyes delight in His ways. Amen? Are we willing to give our hearts to Jesus Christ? Are we willing to let God open and close doors? Are we willing to trust in the doors that open? And are we willing to trust in the doors that close in Jesus Christ? Things don't always go the way we'd like them to. Things don't always go the way that we think they should. But while we have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and He went away and hid Himself from them in John 12:35-36. Let that light shine. Let that light permeate through you, through each one of us. Amen? I don't want that light to just be a little light that I keep cupped in here. I truly want it to reflect the way I live and the way I shine my life for Jesus Christ. So what does it say in Philippians 3? Turn there with me. Philippians chapter 3. If you're not there already. Starting with verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Letting go of the baggage, my friends. Letting go of whatever was 2014. And where do we focus? As Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you ready to press forward toward the goal, to the prize of Jesus Christ in your life, reflected in your heart and in your character? What does it look like to be in the will of God in 2015? What does it look like to let Jesus Christ take your life and let it shine in 2015? Are we willing? I know I am. Are you willing to join me in letting Jesus Christ lead us? Letting God lead not only each one of us, but working together so that God can lead this church family right where He wants us to be. Are you willing? If you're willing, I invite you to stand with me today and say, Lord God, I make the decision right now to say I'm willing. Well, I know people are standing up next to you, and don't just stand because of them. Stand because you make the decision today. I'm willing. When we sing this song coming up here in just a few moments, sing it with a heart. Don't matter how you sound. They all hear me every week, so don't worry. But sing it with the heart of commitment to Jesus Christ today.
Please join us as we sing hymn 537, He Leadeth Me.